When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Ah, yes. When you hear that sound, you know what it is. It's the half hour of power. The best show post show. Tonight, stripped down lineup in studio. As always, AP Mike, how are you?
Hi, everyone.
Okay. That is, it took you two words to make me think things were off a little bit.
Yeah.
And, of course, Jason Gore, a.k.a. Dudio. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
I'm good. It's good to be here.
Yeah. We got the phones are all lit up. Let's go right to the phones on the best show, post show, the half hour power. You're on the half hour power with AP Mike and Dudio.
Hey, fellas.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up?
Hey. This is Caroline in Brooklyn calling.
How are you?
And I'm all right. I have a question that's, I guess, for all three of you guys, if you're able to answer it, and that is, I'm looking for some expert advice for a prog rock primer. Like, if I wanted to just sort of dip my toe into this thing.
Yeah, okay.
You know, with the caveat that I don't have the best stereo system in the world, what's, like, a good kind of starter kit?
Yeah, okay. Very simple. You ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Do you have any albums that would fall under that category?
I'm not sure. Okay. Is Genesis prog rock?
Yeah. Which kind of Genesis? We can't dance?
Duke?
Man, not so much. That's them saying goodbye to all that stuff.
Okay.
But Duke has what? Turn It On Again on it?
Yeah.
Right? That's a good song.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say, why don't you try Fragile by Yes or Close to the Edge? Get both of those. Mm-hmm. I would say get the Yes album, their second album, which has a couple good songs on it. Starship Troopers, Yours is No Disgrace. The Chess song. What's that Chess one? You know the Chess one?
You're looking at me.
You know the Chess one.
I'm the wrong guy.
I've seen all good people turn their heads each. It's about chess.
Oh.
Move me on to any black square. It's about moving chess pieces, Mike. Come on.
I thought that was on Fragile.
No.
No?
No.
See, I'm useless in this category.
Yeah, so I would get that. Get King Crimson. Get Lark's Tongues and Aspic. Okay.
Yeah.
And then get Emerson, Lake, and Palmer brain cell surgery.
All right.
Okay, and then you're set.
No lamb?
Great.
No, she's got to work her way up to that. Okay. The lamb lies down on Broadway? Yeah. I'm not there yet. I got no time for that junk.
How about Peter Gabriel? Early solos?
Yeah, those are like new wave prog.
Oh, okay.
He was inventing new wave at that point. Oh, okay. Like. But I would say those will get you started.
Great, thank you.
All right, you have a great night. Prog, Mike, anything? What do you have that's the closest to prog? You pro what, the Wild, the Innocent, East Street Shuffle?
No,
is that the most prog album you've got? That's kind of a prog
album.
It is, sort of. Yeah.
But it's more jazzy than classical.
Yeah. I think that Destroyer album, the new Destroyer album, seems like it's influenced by that second Bruce Springsteen record.
Really? Okay.
I think in a weird way.
Oh, okay.
Dudio, I know you're a fan of Genesis.
Yeah, big fan of Genesis.
You are a big Tony Banks fan in particular.
God.
Did you see the Genesis documentary, Mike?
No.
It's really good because they get all of them together to reminisce together, not... And so you have Peter Gabriel and
Steve Hackett
there. Like,
oh, wow. Yeah.
So these with the other three dudes, and they're all there.
Is this on Showtime?
Yeah.
It was.
On Showtime. Oh, okay.
And Tony Banks is such a crab about everything. He's like, He's like, he's moaning about The Lamb Lies Down on Broadway. They're just like, I was not interested in all the lyrics of it. Peter had this concept for it that I thought, it's like, shut up.
That's one of their biggest albums?
At that point, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
But it got dwarfed by
Duke
and Abacab. And
what's
then
the one with the dice? Or
Genesis.
Yeah, Genesis.
That's just called Genesis. Oh, it's the one that has Mama.
Yeah.
Remember that song, Mama?
I ended up getting a friend's copy of that album, so I do own that album.
It's got, what else is on that? Illegal Alien, that song, right? Yeah. Not a good album. Studio might disagree.
I don't think I've ever listened
to it. It's not the best. It's not up there. In my
Mama
regular.
Mama should be in the sound collage, right? Shouldn't be in the, like, remember Peter Gabriel's like that? Half Hour Power, you're on the show with AP Mike and Dudio.
Hey, this is Rafferty from Portland.
Rafferty in Portland. What's up, Rafferty?
Nothing much. I was wondering how you guys felt about the comedian Norm Macdonald.
I like Norm Macdonald a lot.
Yeah, I love Norm.
Yeah, what's not to like?
Well, how do you feel about him, Rafferty?
I like him a lot, but I understand that his views on, say, women not being funny or something like that can be strident. So I think he's very funny, but I can see why he could be perturbing to some.
Oh,
so
I was just
wondering.
I'm sure he is. Yeah. Look, I think he says a lot of things to wind people up.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I wasn't aware that he said that, and I probably wouldn't take it seriously if he said it. You know, he kind of says stuff to provoke
that's
people.
That's what it seems like.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And if he does say it, he's wrong. Mm-hmm. That's...
You don't have to agree with him.
Yes, that's the whole thing now. You have to run the guy out of show business just because he's saying some backwards thing. You're just like, yeah, that's a backwards dude. You minimize him. You know what I mean? You reduce him to
definitely.
Nothing. You just let him live, though. You just ignore him.
What about Rob Schneider?
What about Rob Schneider? He's all right. Half Hour Power, you're on with AP Mike and Dudio.
Hello, AC Mike, Studio, and Tom. This is Josh, the organist, up in Boston.
Oh, hey. We're listening to your music in the background right now.
Oh, my God. Yes. That's surreal.
How are you?
I'm doing great. How's everybody doing there?
Very good.
Doing good.
Cool. I wanted to call to check in about... I had given AC Mike notice about this a couple weeks ago and thought he might pay me a visit, but we had at a Red Sox game last week, we had a Grateful Dead theme night. Mm-hmm. And what that entailed, at least from my perspective, was periodically playing Grateful Dead songs on the organ at different times during the baseball game.
How did that go over? Did you have to, like, get sheet music for that? Or, I mean, did you know some of those
songs?
Oh,
no, I'm for better or worse, I don't do sheet music. So it's all just kind of by ear and by memory. Uh-huh. And I think, you know, I was familiar enough songs that I could kind of, I had a good starting point.
What song?
I mean, it wasn't like a central theme of the whole game. I think there just was like one section of seats where a bunch of deadheads had bought tickets. Mm-hmm. And so they were tweeting me their requests of the songs that they wanted to hear.
Or did you play drums in space? Did you do that on the organ?
Yeah, right. I did. I did that just sort of underneath the game for the whole 3 hours, you know.
What did you actually do, Josh? Josh Cantor.
Yes, thank you. I played
Sugar Magnolia.
Touch of Grey, because that's the hit, mm-hmm. you know.
Sure.
And I played a song, I think it's called Deal. Mike might know better than I would.
Yeah.
And then one of the coaches on the opposing team was a deadhead, and he actually tweeted me a request before the game, and so I played that one.
What was the team? What team were they playing?
It was the Tampa Bay Rays.
Hmm. And who's the coach?
His name is Rocco Baldelli. He's a New Englander and played briefly for the Red Sox, and he's kind of still sort of a local hero around here, even though he's coaching for another team now. So
he's not that guy who looks like Barry from Storage Wars, right?
Oh, I've never seen Storage Wars.
That guy coaches the Cubs.
Yeah,
now.
He coaches the Cubs, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that guy used to coach the Rays.
Yeah, yes.
Yeah. That guy you're talking about.
Yeah.
So he requested this song called China Cat Sunflower.
Okay.
And then, what were the other ones? I played Ripple because I thought that would probably be recognized by a wider audience than mm-hmm. just the hardcore deadheads. And at the end of the night, I played a song called "We Bid You Goodnight," which is it's a traditional folk gospel song. But I was told that the Dead frequently end their shows with that song, so mm-hmm. it was a nice.
It's on Live Dead.
Yeah,
no Shakedown Street.
I think that DJ played Shakedown Street, if I'm not mistaken. That is my recollection.
Good.
So
that'd be my favorite Grateful Dead song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shakedown Street?
No, the other one. We bid you good night. Because I would know that we finally, my ride would drive me home.
Yeah, exactly.
I would know.
You're allowed to leave now.
I would know. It's like, fine, can we leave now? Yeah, we can leave.
Don't leave me here, dude. Don't leave me at the Meadowlands.
So you're saying there were about 50 identifiable deadheads there?
I think there were like a few hundred, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Maybe a couple hundred. I don't know. Uh-huh. It's hard to say for sure, but they made special T-shirts for them that sort of combined the Red Sox logo and the...
Oh boy!
And one of the Dead logos.
Oh, I hate those. You were talking about corporations mashing things together.
Oh right.
I keep getting it in my Facebook feed. Is a Philadelphia Flyers with the Grateful Dead "Steal Your Face" thing in the middle of the P. You know, it's like, what? Who would wear this? You know, it's like they're trying for dual markets, I guess.
Yeah, well, if you're a fan of both, then you can kind of kill two birds with one stone, I guess.
Yeah, it's goofy.
Thanks for the call, Josh. We appreciate you.
Take care. Looking forward to your live show up here.
All right, I can't wait.
So long. All right.
Sharpling and Worcester playing live in Boston, Toronto, and Philadelphia. Tour dates over at stereolaughs.com/tour. Half hour power, you're on the air with AP Mike and Dudio.
What's up? Hey, this is Justin in Auburn, Alabama.
What's up, Justin?
Hey, Tom, I just wanted to wonder if you ever saw that Love and Mercy movie, the Brian Wilson biopic?
I didn't see it yet. Mike saw it, right? You said you saw it.
Yeah, I've got a good bootleg. I meant to bring that in this week,
too. Street copy.
I forgot to bring it.
We watched it this weekend.
Oh, did you like saw it?
Yeah, I loved it.
It's on demand, I think.
Yeah, maybe. It's on demand.
Does it go
what
deep?
What do you guys think?
I liked it. I enjoyed it.
I thought it was great.
I mean, I didn't think John Cusack did much in a way of trying to be like the late Brian Wilson.
At times, you could see like a few facial tics or...
I think he was probably concerned about going overboard with it because it is kind of overboard. Because
then you end up doing Carl from Bill Murray and Caddyshack. You go too far with your Brian Wilson
impression. There is a bit of that. He kind of sort of talks out of the side of his mouth a little, you know? He wasn't doing that at all.
Yeah, Paul Dano was great in that, though. I mean,
Giamatti was good, too.
Giamatti was scary.
He was frightening.
Yeah, but I think John Cusack, I mean, it looked like he was even wearing his own clothes, you know? Come on. Give it a little, didn't it? He's wearing those dark clothes he always wears.
He just walked on the set. Dark shirts.
Yeah, it's like.
Gross point just, blank.
Yeah, it's the same clothes, you know? It's like, hey, you know, change it up a bit, you know? I mean, I think Brian Wilson's got a little bit of a different flair there.
Well, I guess my real question, Tom, that was a jumping off point. I was wondering what your favorite Beach Boys record after Pet Sounds was.
Well, Pet Sounds is, Pet Sounds, I never need to hear Pet Sounds ever again. I've heard it so many times. I don't even know if, like, it's just one of those things. It's like, I consumed it to the point where I don't know if I could need or want to ever put that on again.
The later Beach Boys years.
Yeah,
I
was so heavy into the Beach Boys when I was in high school, and this is before that stuff was reissued. It took me forever to find all those albums, and I read this one book that called Heroes and Villains, which in retrospect was a real trashy Beach Boys book written by a guy who wasn't particularly a fan of it, but it gave good insight into the story, and I chased after the stuff, and I mean, I always liked Sunflower a lot, but
Is Sunflower combined with Smiley Smile in those reissues?
No, that's it's like a lot of the reissues. It's like either Smiley Smile and there'll be like 2020 and Wild Honey will be combined a lot. Like I like all those post Pet Sounds albums. Because they're like a mishmash. I liked Wild Honey a lot. I liked 2020.
Yeah, I remember I was listening to the show once and you made a comment about, I can't remember who it was, not putting guitars on their records, trying to do R&B. You said the only time that worked is when the Beach Boys did it, and that was because it was so ludicrous.
Yeah, because
and
it was just...
And I thought that was a really, like, I never thought of Wild Honey through that filter.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that was a really brilliant insight to it that really kind of changed the way I looked at that record.
Like, a lot of people talk about those records like they were cool-down records for Brian Wilson is what they get called a lot. I like the album Friends.
Yeah.
I like that album, and it had, that song Busy Doing Nothing is one of my favorite Brian Wilson songs.
Yeah, that's a groovy track.
You know that song?
Yeah. With that's when like Hal Blaine and all them came back and played. The Wrecking Crew played on those.
Because it's at the weirdest thing I ever heard when he's trying to remember the phone number, and he's like, and I've been thinking about a good friend. I'd like to see more.
And I love it when he couldn't remember the number. He's like, to his house.
So then he's trying to remember the phone number. He's like, I sat and concentrated on the number and slowly it came to me. Like, it's the weirdest moment that he's just, it's like stopping time to remember, to just think about a phone number.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally his brain reveals it.
Did you go to any of the, when he started touring again? I went to one of those shows.
I never saw any of them. Yeah. They all seemed just like a bummer to me. I didn't like the Smile thing that he redid and any.
I Smile at Carnegie Hall, and that was really cool. I got to meet Van Dyke Parks while I was there, and then I saw the Pet Sounds tour he did too.
Well, look, I'm glad people liked it, and it seemed like it was satisfying in a lot of ways. I just felt like those things existed to me as records in the time period, and anything trying to complete it felt a little inauthentic to me. That I just didn't want to go and see it and pretend it was the same thing. And I was fine. I'm fine with the fact that Smile never got finished. So, I'm okay. That's fine.
Yeah, I didn't see that. I saw, like, I guess when he first started touring again, you know. Mm-hmm. And, there were moments where you're just like, you know, he's still struggling.
Yeah.
And he wasn't 100%.
Yeah.
So he had moments of that. Mm-hmm. But just the fact that he was doing it again.
Sure.
Was sort of, you know... Mm-hmm. Uplifting.
Did you see him do to you?
I've never seen him. My mom saw him a couple months ago, and she said it looked like... She said it was a very sad experience, and it looked like he fell asleep at the piano during the show. So it was tough to watch, she said.
I was listening to Ram the other day by McCartney, and it felt to me like Ram was him trying to duplicate that 66 to 67 Brian Wilson style a little bit. And I was wondering what you thought about that, or if I was just grasping at straws there.
I don't know. I think it's
like a lot of the harmonies and the weirdness.
Yeah, I think it feels like a lot of those things. I don't know if he was trying to do that. I mean, I think it feels like it, but I'm not sure if that was a goal of his. Maybe it was. I think it just feels like
consciously, kind of like when you listen to that record, you hear the influence there.
Definitely. No, it's definitely in the spirit of it, and he's obviously a Brian Wilson fan, so that makes sense. All right, bro. Thanks for the call. Half hour of power. You're on with AP Mike and Dudio.
I like how bro is sort of crept into the.
All right, bro.
Bro. you broed about just everybody who's called tonight.
Thanks a lot, bro.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
You had no.
That
you
I
were
did.
Bro.
Did
with
I
people?
The third bro.
No, really? No, it's been bros all night.
Okay.
I've been loving it.
All right. It's funny how that works out like that.
I thought I was listening to Joe Beningo behind it.
Mike has nodded every time you did it, too.
Joe Beningo. That guy, for people, Joe Beningo is a guy who does, like, midday. Is that what you'd call it for WFAN?
Yeah.
Is it, like, he's the guy. He was a caller to WFAN for the longest time. And then... won a contest that got him, he's literally a contest winner, got him a radio, a shot And then, I mean, it's like Rocky of radio.
I call that show Dumb and Dumber.
If Rocky was focusing on his stupidity and not his boxing skills. Yeah. Like, that's what Joe Beningo is. It's like, if like Rocky went a million to one shot as the champ, as with his boxing, but he also would be a million to one shot as a guy talking into a microphone for 4 hours a day. That's what Joe Beningo actually did. He's Rocky. He's the talking side of Rocky.
Uh-huh.
Talky.
And it's like 100%, 100%, bro. 100%, bro.
I don't know about the Mets.
I agree with you. I agree with you 100%, bro.
So what should they do with Harvey? What should they do with Harvey? Should they shut him down or what?
Yeah, Black Knight, my
Wait, what?
I had to rein myself in.
Well, good.
He doesn't curse on that show.
No, he's
some Black Knight, bro.
So you're on with AP, Mike, and Dudio, bro. What's
up? Tom. This is Brett from Lincoln, Nebraska.
How's it going, Brett? What's going on in Lincoln?
Not much. I want to talk about Fleetwood Mac.
Sure. What do you want to talk about?
Okay, so you've talked about when they're live, Mick Fleetwood's huge, like, drum solos.
Yeah.
That he does.
Yeah.
So they played the arena here in Lincoln a few months ago.
Was Christine McVie with them?
Yep.
Was it awesome?
No.
No! What's that?
No. Okay, halfway through, they play like, everyone's playing songs. Then halfway through, Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham do a couple solo songs.
Did they do Landslide?
Like, yeah, they do Landslide.
Did you cry? There were a lot of people crying there, though, right?
Yeah.
Like, you look around, a lot of people crying.
But then Lindsey did Never Going Back Again.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool on the guitar.
He's an amazing guitar player. Did you watch that live? How about that one? Yeah. Did he do that one song where he's like going off? Like the slow one? You know the one? What is that? From his first Fleetwood Mac album. I forget what that song's called.
Big Love or no? Is that off the Dance, that live album?
I don't think it was on that. It was the song... I don't know. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, anyway, they do this solo set, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, this stage manager comes up,
mm-hmm.
and it's Christine McVie, Stevie Nicks, mm-hmm. Lindsey Buckingham, and is it John McVie?
John McVie, yeah.
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 So they talk to the stagehand, then Stevie Nicks comes and says, oh my gosh, we have to cancel the show. Mick Fleetwood is sick. And she goes, he's throwing up everywhere backstage. This has never happened. We've got to stop the show.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Oh, God.
So I didn't get to see the huge drum solo that I was waiting for.
Oh, man.
And they cut it off halfway through, but they did let Christine McVie sing Songbird, but still, not a good night.
Well, I'm sorry.
Did they say they would make it up to Lincoln?
Oh, yeah. She goes, oh, we'll come back to Lincoln and we'll play twice as long.
Yeah. You know, first of all, no, they won't. And no, they won't. It's like, they're not going to play. They're not coming back.
Not at all.
And they're going to get the drum solo twice as long.
Exactly. And if they do come back, they're not playing twice as long. Can you imagine twice? Guys, it's going to be a 4-hour show.
They're going to play everything twice.
Yeah. They're going to run out of songs.
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's all right, but maybe one day I'll get to hear the solo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, hang in there.
All right.
Half hour power, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, this is Matt from Halifax.
Matt, you're here with Dudio and AP Mike.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good.
What's up in Halifax tonight? Halifax, Nova Scotia.
Well, I just wanted to say I'm pretty excited. I have tickets, show tickets and plane tickets to come see you perform in Toronto.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It's going to be good.
I know of at least two other people here who are making the flight as well.
Good.
And friends who've already moved to Toronto because we're kind of a have-not province here, so...
It's going to be fun.
All my college buds are either in Montreal or Toronto.
How long is that flight?
I think it's only about, like, an hour or so.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
Not too bad. Fine. Not too bad.
Okay. So what do you got for the show tonight, champ?
Well, I have a question, sort of advice. I haven't watched the most recent Genesis documentary.
We were just talking about it about 15 minutes ago.
Oh.
No, but what do you want? You haven't watched it yet.
No, I haven't watched it yet. I saw one. My entry point was Invisible Touch when I was 9. Mm-hmm. And I loved them because I played piano and I just loved the keyboards and the synth stuff. Mm-hmm. I watched a 1990 documentary. And that's when, you know, it blew my mind to see the earlier stuff. Mm-hmm. But anyhow, this new one, another fan told me that if I watch it, I will hate Tony Banks. So
yeah, you might.
Yeah.
He seems very whiny and just ruffled feathers when he should have just been like, it was like, I don't know. He just seems like he's always annoyed.
Been pretty dry character.
Grumpy, but smug, and above it all.
Yeah.
But he did Watcher, you know, Watcher of the Skies, you know that song?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's a big thing. That's a good moment for him, right? Watcher of the Skies. You know that song, Mike?
No.
You might know it if you heard it.
Okay.
It's a good song.
Look, just watch the thing. You'll get better the moment seeing the other guys talking will cancel out any stuff with Tony Banks. And you just have to say, that's Tony Banks being Tony Banks.
Of course it is.
Yeah.
Of course it is.
You'll be fine. Watch it. You're a fan. What are you scared of?
nothing.
All right, Chief. You have a great
night. All right, thanks so much.
Okay. Chief, champ.
Bro.
You got me tiptoeing around bro now. Got in my head. Yeah. You got in my head, Mike.
I remember some guy chiefed me out one time. It ticked me off.
Chiefed you out.
Yeah, he called me chief, you know. It's like the first time I was ever called chief, you know. I didn't like it. You know?
When was this?
Where do you stand on chief?
No one means it. No one means it when they don't mean like...
Yeah, but it's like a put-down, right?
Oh, yeah, no, it's loaded. It's a loaded... It's like calling... A short guy stretch or something like that, right?
Yeah,
you know, it's very loaded, and it's meant to put you down a little bit, make you think like it's very belittling. Hey, chief.
Yeah.
And what did he say? Were you at the bar?
No. This was years ago. I worked in a warehouse at a Sears catalog store, and you know I had to unload trucks. And this was the truck driver, you know, and he chiefed me out.
So this is a store you were fulfilling orders from the Sears catalog, or you were shipping catalogs?
Now, people would order at this smaller store in a mall.
Where was that?
Freehold, New Jersey.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were working there, loading trucks, and what did the guy
say?
Unloading
trucks.
Unloading trucks, okay.
He was the truck driver.
And what did he say?
And I love these guys because they push like a riding lawnmower to the edge of the truck, and that's all they had to do. Yeah.
And they don't.
And then I had to get it down.
Yeah, they don't go any further.
Oh, wow.
So it's like, here's a refrigerator. Yeah, you put it to the lip of the truck. Yeah. All right, Mike, now you get it down. Yeah.
It was that way.
By yourself.
The music store I worked at, when we would do like a stock order, we'd be doing like these huge bulk orders like once a year with these publishers. And there was that thing when you were just like, because I worked, it was me and the owners, the two of us were the only guys there. And there'd be a thing where I'd be working, it's the owner's day off, and then you see that 18-wheeler pull up. It's like, you gotta be kidding me.
Now you know why he's off.
I'm gonna unload. I have to load 50 boxes of stuff in myself.
Yeah.
Because he'll pull a pallet right to the edge of the thing and be like, yeah, I'll cut the plastic open. You gotta get the boxes off the thing. Like lugging books too. Like the boxes are as heavy as can be.
Yeah.
So how did he say chief to you?
He's just like, you got my paperwork, chief, or something like that.
Because you're a kid.
My bill of lading, yeah.
That
was like in college. When I was in college, I was working there.
Yeah, so he's clearly not like, he's not like saying to you, like, it's not like he's saying to somebody older than him, calling him the traditional version of chief, where you're showing respect to someone like that. He's calling some kid chief.
He
did not. No, it's not good. Chief. Hey, chief.
Yeah.
Surprised you don't get that at masses.
Yeah, that really sounds like something you'd hear at masses.
Jason, chief. You ever what in any of those names, what have you been called?
I used to be called Ponch.
Ponch?
People call me Ponch. Like, hey, Ponch.
Where were you called Ponch?
It was down in Virginia.
Oh, man.
It was a pretty common thing.
Ponch. What? Why Ponch?
I don't know. I don't know if it was because of Ponch from Chips or I highly doubt it. I hope not.
Yeah. You don't look like Ponch from Chips.
Nothing like Eric Estrada.
Yeah. So.
The farthest thing.
Let's think. Which one would get you? I'll ask you guys real quick. How would you feel about Bud?
Disrespectful.
Bud's down there.
Pal.
Yeah, that's...
Pal, yeah. Down, yeah. Yeah, it's...
Guy.
Man, that's...
No, not a fan of that one.
Is there any of those quickie kind of things that people throw out that's all right? Pal, guy, buddy. Buddy, right? Hey, buddy.
Buddy, yeah. Son.
How about when, how do you feel when somebody just says, when they throw around friend way too liberally?
Don't like it.
Right?
Friend. But, so, yeah, when you just think, it's like, said, the tone is part of it, you know, and when somebody says friend, you know, it's like, it's usually in a sinister tone.
Hey, they're friend.
You go to get a sandwich somewhere and be like, what can I get you, my friend?
Oh, you know what the worst one is? Boss.
Boss is the worst one.
That is the worst one.
And hey, boss.
You get that all the time.
Yeah.
In convenience stores for some reason, you know?
Boss.
Yeah. I get it at Wonder Bagels when they ask if I want salt, pepper, ketchup on my...
What do you want, boss?
Yeah.
Okay. Salt, pepper, ketchup on that, boss?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's like, probably the one used the most, that I hear the most.
What would happen if you said... Okay, yeah, that's what I want. And then... when they bring it to you, or they slide it to you on the counter, you're just like, thanks. And you start to walk out, and you're just like, yeah, I'm the boss. I'm taking this. Like, you called me the boss. Just take it off my paycheck.
Take it to the next level. They called you boss. Hey. Start acting like the boss.
Yeah, exactly. You just go behind the counter. Start grabbing stuff. I'm the boss.
Yeah.
Pop the register open.
Yeah. You got change of a 20 in there?
You're right. I owe you $400. Yeah, we'll balance this out at the end of the day. When I'm doing the books, I'll balance the $400. I'll square up at the end of the day. What are you doing?
Hey, I gotta get supplies. I gotta get supplies.
Yeah, then stop calling me boss. Boss is bad.
Yeah, bosses.
Anything, Mike, of note? Anything? I know you find weird stories or things. Has anything piqued your interest of late?
Well, it was hard to avoid the Pope this week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the coverage was way beyond, you know. I could only take it in dribs and drabs, you know. But it was so strange when, you know, they had the mass, and then you have these commentators, you know, sort of weighing in during the parts of the mass. And, you know, they're explaining the transubstantiation.
Okay.
Which is when the wine is turned to blood and the wafers are turned to Christ's flesh. And it's just because, like, mainstream media doesn't really even touch on religion anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So to have, like, this being covered in the mainstream, it just sounded strange, you know? I mean, I know there's certainly plenty of religious stations on cable, but just to have that come through in like a mainstream media coverage of it was odd. You know,
and suddenly Maurice Dubois is talking about this stuff.
And they couldn't stop with the rock star thing. Just every, you know, even the Daily News Sunday paper, I open it up, there it is, the rock star Pope. You know, it's like, enough with it. You know, they latch onto something, and then they just beat it to death.
Well, he has a prog rock album now.
Well, that came out of, who knew that was coming down the road?
Yeah, and do you think he's ever heard that track? Did you hear that track?
Yes.
It was three minutes of limp. And that's prog if that's prog, like Vangelis is prog. It sounded like Chariots of Fire outtakes, and then just one of his speeches played over the quiet parts of it.
Did New Age music ever go away? I mean, is this like the renaissance of New Age music? It's going to come back?
I don't know. It could. Wouldn't what the shocking thing is? That wouldn't you think that this Pope, since he's so cool, that he would have done one of those, that album, like those monks, like, whoop, whoop, boop, boop, the one that's like, over the beats?
Yeah.
Remember that record?
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't he do one of those?
You would think so.
What was that called? Do you remember that?
Oh.
Where it was like sexy monks. It was like sexy
it was
monk.
It was a big hit that.
It was like
that
sexy old monk music. Yeah. Where it was like whoop whoop doo.
And then they tried to replicate it with all these other sort of choirs and different things.
It was I'm trying to figure out what that was.
I can still see the cover, right? It was sort of like blue and just these monks guys on the front. I think my mother got me to buy it for her when it came out.
Monks, it was like Gregorian monks, right? Was
Gregorian,
that what it was?
Gregorian chants?
Was it the Benedictine monks of Santo Domingo? Probably.
Yes, yeah. That's what it was.
Yeah, yeah.
But it had that one song.
Do you think I'm sexy?
Now, that's not the song.
It says the Benzedrine monks of Santo Domingo.
The Benzedrine monks.
It was probably a remix and they sampled it or something.
Yeah, that's...
The Benzedrine monks. That's a different... different than the Benedictine monks.
They're selling...
Yeah, that sounds like... I know you're not making it up. That's like a parody of a thing. The Benzedrine monks. That's like...
Terrible.
That's like Lou Reed. It's like they're doing Velvet Underground songs. The songs about drugs. So the Pope drove you nuts, Mike?
Yeah, it was a little too much.
Dudio, anything of note? Well, what were you going to say, Mike? I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I pretty much missed all of the Philly coverage. I guess that was Sunday, right?
I guess so. Yeah. I was away.
Yeah, I didn't see any of that. And I wasn't going to put it on at Masses.
Would not have gone
over
well?
Not a go.
Those heathens?
They wouldn't have liked that.
They would have turned to dust.
Yeah.
The words of the Pope would have made them...
I remember I was at Masses when they selected the Pope, and mm-hmm. I remember it being a pretty good time.
Was it on the TV there?
Yeah, it was in the middle of the day, mm-hmm. so and every channel had it. You know, there isn't much on daytime television, so it was on. And the guys were really...
They were into the selection.
Oh, man, they were just, like, weighing in heavily.
Well, that's how I heard that there was a new Pope with the smoke out of the chimney at Masses. It goes from black to white. And then I'm just like, oh, there's a new Pope.
Yeah.
The people of Bayonne.
Wait in. Yeah.
There is a new Pope. The smoke coming out of the chimney at Masses has changed.
The cigarette disposal in front of the bar.
It is now
the thing that it does catch on fire every
Bayonne
month or so.
Has a new Pope. The cigarette disposal in front of Masses has changed.
It's on fire.
Yeah. It's on fire. The new Pope of Bayonne has been named. It would be it's the guy from the Effordent commercials. Named Pope.
Pepsodent.
Pepsodent. All right, we should wrap it up here. Half hour power. Everybody, Mike, you're at Masses on Sundays.
Yeah, I actually had my first return visitors. I had a couple came in, and it's their second visit this Sunday. So it's always nice when people stop in.
Sure. The rare return to Masses. if they come back a third time, then they're just customers.
And they're drinking, you know, beyond just the customary, you know, one beer.
Yeah.
You know,
you found these people. You found some like
minded. Had a couple shots.
Well, that's nice.
Yingling, yeah.
Good.
In honor of Philly Boy.
So this Sunday, people in Bayonne can go see Mike attending bar over at Masses. Jason, your sketch troupe.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said improv. Sorry.
No, it's fine.
Sketch troupe, Bridge and Tunnel. Their show, Get
yes.
Real with Bridge and Tunnel, will be a part of the New York Sketch Fest on Saturday, October 17th. 9:30 p.m. over at the People's Improv Theater, The Pit. And you have a guest for that show, and the guest is me.
Yes.
It's very exciting. I'm very excited about being a part of the show. Thank you for...
No, thank you for being on. We're very excited to have you on. And we already met with you this week, mm-hmm. and we talked and got stories. And
yeah.
the way this show works is we'll take those stories and turn them into sketches.
It's really exciting. It's gonna be a lot of fun. And by the time this goes up, tickets will have gone on
yes.
sale for a day, so you can get them at thepit-nyc.com.
Yep.
And that's Bridge and Tunnel. And Sharpling and Worcester tickets are on sale for November, December. Toronto, Boston, Philadelphia. Go to stereolaughs.com/tour. That's stereolaughs, LAFFS. .com/tour. Half hour power will be back in a couple weeks. Thank you for listening. And it's AP Mike and Jason saying good night. And we will see you all soon. Bye. Say bye.
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 Bye. Okay. Oh, I gotta beg these guys to say goodbye.